So a couple weeks ago, last week, I didn't get to anything I wanted to talk about, which is fine. But a couple weeks ago, we started kind of down the road of, you know, who Jesus is, right? We're going through the gospel. We hit the Holy Spirit pretty hard a while back, and just different aspects of the gospel, what it's done for us, because I believe when we know what it's done for us, we can share with others what it can do for them, right? And then they can see what it's done for us. So we're going through these just different aspects of the gospel, and we were in Colossians 1:15 says, he is the image of the invisible God. And that was a big revelation for me, because if you see him, you've seen the Father, right? Jesus said it. If you see me, you see the Father. So you don't have to, there's no guessing. There's no guesswork anymore. Like, if we've seen him and we see him through the word, we see him now through him working in our lives, right? When we see him, we see the Father. Who was Jesus? That's who the Father is. Right? Who is Jesus? That's who the Father is. Who is the Holy Spirit? That's who the Father is. Right? And so understanding the gospel, going through this stuff, getting it established in our hearts is important for us, obviously, but it's also important when we leave here. Right? The goal is to touch other people's lives. The goal is to present the gospel to those who are lost. And maybe present the gospel to those who are Christians, who are saved, but maybe don't know, right? It's one of those things where, you know, you can be saved, and then if there's no discipleship involved, if there's no continuing on with Christ, how do they know, right? How do they know unless they're taught? So it's for our benefit, but it's also for other people's benefit. And I really hope this is benefiting each and every one of us. And I really hope that this is building us up on the inside to say, yes, I have something to share. I have something to share. I have something in me that Christ has done that is worth sharing. That's the whole reason I'm here, because Christ did something in my life that was worth sharing. Honestly, that's why I'm here. I said, Lord, I want to help people the way you helped me. And he's using it. Praise God. And he can do it for each and every one of us. It's not just a Jesse thing. Thank God it is a Jesse thing, because I've been blessed, and just the growth that's happened throughout it is fantastic. But it's not just for me. It's not just for the pastors, the prophets, the teachers, the fivefold. We're here to help you. We're here to help you grow. We're here to help you mature. We're here to disciple so you can go do. That's my role. And I pray in that I'm being faithful and that it's being effective, because that's what I'm supposed to do. But this is worth sharing, and I believe we're going to be sharing it. Right, we had the word of preparation last week. Be prepared. Be prepared, and it's not like, I'm going to have to talk to people. Yes, you're going to have to talk to people. Sorry, get over it. I love it. I love people being uncomfortable, because I've been uncomfortable for about 6 years. Welcome to the club. Sorry, you get to talk to people. You get to talk to people. We get to share something with them that is life-changing. Not for just this life, but all eternity. All right, when we put this into perspective, it's pretty awesome. We have something that can shape people's eternity. And it can start right now. It can start the moment they say yes. The moment they understand who Jesus is. Because I guarantee there's the Holy Spirit's working on people right now. Something's coming. Because people are asking for help. People are searching for help. People don't understand what's going on in this world right now. People are confused. Obviously, right? We don't even know our gender anymore. What a lie. What a lie. And look how it's destroying lives. What if we could help that? Right? What if we could speak truth into a situation? And what if that could change somebody's life? And I believe it will change people's lives, right? It will change people's lives. It changed ours, so why can't it change theirs? Amen? So we're going just like who Jesus is, and it's important to know, but there is a phrase that I don't like, I'll be honest. And I know it can be used in funny ways, and oh, the Lord works in mysterious ways. I don't believe that's the truth anymore. I believe before our new covenant, there was mystery behind everything because there wasn't full revelation. But I hope that we see today that God does not have to be a mystery. Jesus Christ does not have to be a mystery. The Holy Spirit does not have to be a mystery. And so that's what we're going to go through today. Real quick, you don't have to turn here. Over in Romans 16. And if you guys want to just continue on with gospel and the gospel and grace and get into Romans. Start reading Romans because that's Paul's, you know, That was it. That was the peak of the mountain for Paul was Romans. Everything else is great, but Romans just lays out grace, faith, all these things that came to us through the gospel. So I would encourage you to just continue in this because we're going to be continuing in this. Romans 16, verse 25 and 26 says, "Now to him who is able to strengthen you." Now remember that. "Strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings has been made known." It's been given. The reason it's a mystery is because we make it a mystery. And I believe we make it a mystery simply by not seeking God. It doesn't have to be so foreign to us. It doesn't have to be, yes, are there questions? Of course. But we have a God who can answer. We don't have to just live in questions. Because as we've read, we have the Holy Spirit, and as we've been taught, is we have the Holy Spirit who searches the depths of God, so we have access. We can go boldly before the throne. We have access. We should. If we don't, let's fix it. The Holy Spirit inside of us, right? Working, teaching, comforting, leading, guiding. Who has a direct line to Jesus, who has a direct line to the Father. Jesus freely gives all. We have that. It doesn't have to be a mystery. God does not have to be this mysterious thing that we can't even comprehend. No, we can't comprehend the fullness of God. No. But we can walk in a way and we can grow in a way where understanding is available. Knowledge is available. Wisdom is available. Growing with him is where we're going to find that. Well, I don't know why he worked that way. It's just a mystery. I don't believe that. I think we just shut ourselves off and eliminate any kind of revelation when we look at, when we view God in that way. Because if it's a mystery and I don't want to seek it out, what am I going to find? Because sometimes, you know, we can overwhelm ourselves with God, but he's available. We have to look at Jesus. We have to look at God and the Holy Spirit for who they are. They loved us so much that Jesus came and died. That doesn't sound like a God who doesn't want to be a part of something that's trying to hold back, correct? He gave us his Spirit freely. That doesn't sound like a God who's trying to hold back, who's trying to keep us in the dark, right? We serve a God who wants us to know him. He desires for each and every one of us to know him, to truly know him. Because like I preach all the time, we can live in this life. We don't have to wait till we die, go to heaven or wherever else we go, to experience him, to experience life. It's been given to us now. It's available right now. What are we doing with it? Is it something I desire? Or do I desire to stay in the dark? There's a difference, because I desired to stay in the dark. There was a time in my life where I was, that's where I was. I had made really good friends with darkness, and I had made really good friends with the things that came along with darkness. And we knew each other. We knew each other well. And misery loves company, so I'd find people and put them in my lives that were just like me, who disliked people just as much as I disliked people, who complained and just, you know, life sucks. Everything sucks. Kids, you're not allowed to say that. But just everything's terrible, right? Everything's terrible. And so that's just what I filled myself up with. That's who I surrounded myself with. People who were living and the Lord was working in their lives. Oh yeah, look at them. The Lord loves them more than me. You know, you find everywhere you look. Oh, he's successful. Yeah. Yeah, whatever. Whatever. Said whatever a lot. But it's the truth, right? We can find offense anywhere we want if we truly want offense. Even if there's nothing there, I'll create it in my head. Oh man, could I create scenarios in my head? That's one thing I have to like truly watch myself to this day, is I can create some doozies. I don't know how I started and I don't know how I got where I got, but it could be a movie of just created things that never happened, never will happen, but man, does it sound good in my head, and man, when I'm done with it, I hate you even more. You didn't do anything, but in my head, you did everything. You're the reason I'm where I'm at. You're the reason I'm angry. It has nothing to do with me, when it has everything to do with me. Right? But we don't have to live that way. We have access. Our God is not a mystery. Turn over, and I told you to remember strength. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel. So go back to Colossians 1. You might already be there. Colossians 1, down to verse 24. Don't forget about the previous verses. Continue to go through 22, 23. I would encourage you to read those verses every day. Every day. He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. Read those, I'm serious, read those verses every day and proclaim them over yourself every day. You have been reconciled. You are holy, you are blameless and above reproach. And you can continue to walk in that because of Jesus Christ. Fill yourself up with that. Fill yourself up with that. But down in verse 24, It says, now I rejoice in my sufferings, this is Paul speaking, for your sake and in my flesh I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to his stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. It wasn't to make it partially known. To give you a little bit of what God has. To share with you a piece of how much he loves you. No. It says to make the word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have everything we need. It was freely given. Jesus Christ freely went to the cross, took it, took the sin, died, rose again, conquered sin and death, took the keys, ascended to the Father, sent his Spirit. What more do we need? The mystery, we'll read verse 26 again. Well, the end of 25. To make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed. It's been revealed. Tell yourself it's been revealed. What I'm seeking for right now has been revealed. What I'm going through right now, the troubles I'm going through, the answers I'm asking are revealed in Jesus' name. Because it's been fully known. It's been made fully aware. We don't have to walk this life just wandering. Where do I go? What do I do? And this just occurred to me meditating on this. Why can't we just say, God, what is my purpose? Reveal it to me. Why not? Lord, where do you want to lead me? But I think sometimes people are a little afraid where he's going to lead them. But if we want to walk out this fullness, and I believe that truly should be our heart, is to walk out this fullness, this relationship that we can have with him. Lord, where do you want to lead me? I know me the best. I didn't necessarily want to be led here. Full disclosure. I had a very good church family. Most of the people at this church I had known since I was a small child. Grown up with them. They'd had huge impacts on my life. I was drumming. Really loved what I did, what I was doing. But all of a sudden, there was a dissatisfaction in what I was doing. I was like, ugh. It's not that what I was doing wasn't good, right? But there came a dissatisfaction of, I don't know if I'm supposed to be doing this anymore. And I asked, Lord, what am I supposed to be doing? And lo and behold, he sent me here. And it's not like I hated coming here. It was something new, right? I was pulled from something me and my family were pulled from something that we were so familiar with. You didn't even have to try. Like, it was great. You'd show up to church and everything was just great. Everybody knew each other. Everybody, you know, you could talk to anyone. You know, I loved drumming. We had a great worship team. It was a lot of fun. Like, the kids loved their programs that they did. And like, it was just good. And then the Lord said, leave it. I was like, what? But if you want to walk in fullness, and you're going to ask him where to go, are you going to go where he tells you to go? If you don't, he still loves you. He's still rooting for you. He still wants the best for you, but I guarantee he's whispering to you, go where I told you to go. Yeah, it doesn't make sense, but go where I told you to go. Oh, man, right? But this stuff, the fullness of God is available to us. The fullness of God is available to people all over this world, all around these communities. But we have to know that nothing is being withheld from us, and we can bring everything to him. Nothing is being withheld, and we can take everything to him. Everything. Do we believe it? Right? There was a time in my life where I didn't. And the fruit of my life reflected that. It was rotten. It was no good. Right? We just got done going through staying connected to the vine. Right? We are the branches. Stay connected to the vine because that's where your lifeline is. That's where your source is. For those of you who like gardening and the outdoors, it's easy to see. Right? It's easy to see, and it makes sense to me when you put it in those terms, because I love that stuff. I love it. And so, yes, if we're looking for fullness, if a plant is looking to fully mature and fully ripen, right, it needs to stay connected to the vine. If apples are about halfway there and we cut off the limb, you know, it's pretty obvious what's going to happen. It's been disconnected from the source, so there it stays, and eventually it rots. There was growth, right? It had potential. It could have been, but it was disconnected, right? And it'll stay in that state for a little while. It doesn't just instantly rot. It'll stay in that state for a little while. It'll still look like an apple for a bit. When I joined the Marine Corps and started having the problems I had, I still looked like a Christian. I still didn't do everything that everybody else did. I said no to some things. It was noticed. I looked the part. But over time, I stopped filling myself. I disconnected myself from the source. And then all of a sudden, I was rotten and dead. Right? The leaves withered, the fruit withered, and it's just mush. No longer edible, no longer useful, no longer being what I was intended to be. All because I separated myself from the source. Now, I blamed a lot of people for that. My rant earlier. I blamed a lot of people for everything I did. And it made me angrier, and I created a lot of scenarios for people that didn't exist, and it made me angrier. But it was my choice, right? Our walk with Christ is our choice. He desires fullness. He desires for you to look at him and not be afraid. To come boldly before him and say, Lord, I need help. Or Lord, thank you very much. Right? Both ends of the spectrum. Right? Or just, Lord, what do you think about this? Lord, what do you got for me today? Right? Just relationship. It's available. It's there. Do we believe it? Do we desire it? Do I desire to stay connected to the source, or am I just... And I think a lot of times it's out of ignorance because people just don't know. Right? How can they know if they don't hear? Thus the importance, I think, of that word of preparation, because there's people coming in here and there's people we're meeting out there that need to hear. And it's not a pressure thing, because we don't need to walk this out in pressure. We need to walk this out and say, you got me, Holy Spirit. Right? Wherever I go, you're with me. I don't need to worry. You're going to bring those things that I need to say out. You're going to give me wisdom. You're going to give me understanding of the situation. And I'm just going to put myself out there. Just going to put myself out there because that's where you told me to go. And then watch them work. That's a pretty good relationship. You're leading me here. Let's go get some work done. And then, right, they get led back here. And hopefully they're being discipled, right? They're being set free. They're growing in maturity, just like the rest of us are, right? Because we're all in this together. We're all one body. But each one has a part. Each person here plays a role. And that's why I'm imploring you guys to pray. Pray for what's coming, because it's coming. It's coming. And what are we going to do about it? I say we just be ready. And we just meet it head on. And we see these people coming through and we just show them the love of God. Show them, man, he can just change things. Take you from hopelessness to hope. Right? From a sinner to redeemed. I mean, it's beautiful stuff. It truly is. Like, if you really just kind of meditate on it and think about it, it's just really beautiful stuff. And he desires it for all people. And he desires growth here. Right? It's the challenge. There's nothing wrong with being challenged. I pray we continue to be challenged, right? So we don't get complacent. Well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm good here. I'm satisfied in this spot. That's fine. But I think there's more. I think the Holy Spirit's probably speaking and leading, guiding. I just don't see people staying in one spot forever. This walk is about growth. It truly is. And we can just measure things. We can measure things in our life by our growth. All right, I had a little incident the other day I wasn't too happy about. Had a bunch of kids in the car. But I didn't swear when I hit somebody on accident. I'm sorry. I didn't swear. I yelled. I let out a, ah! But I didn't swear. And I walked out of the car so proud of myself. It's like, thank you, God, because there was a lot of kids in my car. But I didn't, like, that's a big milestone for me. Like, I know me. Like, stuff like that happens and stuff comes out of my mouth. I don't even know where it came from, but it's just quick. It's quick. But, you know, stuff like that, little stuff like that, that's God changing my heart. That's not my first response, right? The first thought was just, okay, let's get it fixed. Ugh. But oh well, we'll get it fixed and everything will be just fine. But I can gauge that as growth. I truly can. If you listen to me talk in the military compared to listening to me talk now, I can't tell you what a night and day difference it is. You wouldn't like talking to me then. Like, we would just, it was a competition. how many swear words can you fit in a sentence? Like, it truly was. And it was ugly. It was ugly. I don't like it. I don't like it now. Like, when I'm around people who just constantly swear, like, I don't like it. Again, a gauge of growth, right? It seems simple, it seems, but had I, because, you know, I got a bunch of kids in the car who don't go to church, who, you know, who maybe expected that, and then it didn't happen, and maybe they go, right? Yeah. People notice. At jobs I've worked, people notice that I don't swear. It happens on occasion. I can't lie. But people notice that, and then they ask me, why don't you swear? And then I tell them. Most of the time, they don't like what I tell them. That's fine. You sound like my mother. I get that a lot. Well, why don't you swear? Well, they usually don't let me finish what I'm trying to say because they usually say, well, you sound like my mother. Well, maybe your mother's right. There's better ways to do things. You just sound, man, you sound dumb. You know, but it's this gauge, all right? I can go back and I can look at things in my life and I can see how I was and how I am now. And thank God, it's all praise to God. Like, it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with him working in me and me allowing it to happen, right? But it came with a revelation of, I have access to all of this. That's the revelation, is nothing is being held back from any one of us. The mystery has been done away with. There is no more mystery. It's Jesus Christ, right? It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus. Mystery solved, right? All the prophets of old spoke of him. He was revealed. And now Paul carried it on and revealed the gospel of grace, right? The gospel of Christ. What more do we need? We don't need any more than what's already been given because everything has been given. Roll that in your mind. Roll it around until it sticks. Everything has been given. Everything. Hop over to Ephesians. Well, just a sec. I want to finish this. Verse 28, in him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. That was Paul's ministry, going around warning, teaching, and bringing to maturity. Very simplified, right? But it was warning people. Right? If somebody's heading down the wrong path, do we just continue to watch them go? Right? It's okay to warn people of danger. Right? It's okay to warn people that, you know what? This isn't going to end well for you. Because I know, because I lived that life where I've gone down that road. This isn't going to end well for you. Like, we can warn people. And then we should also get the opportunity to teach them. Right? If we can, you know, grow in these relationships. That's why I pray, you know, I'm excited about getting into recovery and having a recovery group here because we can help people come out of that stuff. We can help people to mature and grow, right? They've seen the error, now they need to grow, right? They've come out of that lifestyle, let's help them grow. Let's help them mature. And then they can help somebody, and then they can help somebody, and then somebody else can help somebody, and it's great. Verse 29, for this I toil, and I'm in the ESV, but if anybody's wondering, but verse 29, for this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works in me. Right? Romans 25 said, strength Strength comes from the gospel. Strength comes from Jesus Christ. Strength comes from the Holy Spirit. We do not have to, and I ended last week with this as well, but we do not have to do this in our own power. We're not supposed to do this in our own power. We're not supposed to do this in our own strength. We are to lean on Him. We are to go to Him. Our strength fails. It just does. His strength is limitless. His power is limitless. We don't need to do this on our own. We don't have to walk this out on our own. We don't have to. You know, and that's why the picture of the body is so important, right? Christ is the head, but every one of us working together in unity, no matter how small the job, no matter how big, no matter what the vision is, us working together. But I think that goes a lot smoother when we know who our God is, right? When we know what's available to us. Because that's stuff we can just agree on. We're not always going to agree on everything. I get it. But when it comes to salvation, when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to the things that it provides, I don't think there should be a lot of argument there. Right? The Old Testament foretold it. The New Testament laid it out. And yes, there's always people who argue. But in us, we can have unity in it. And if there's questions, please come. We'll talk about it. If I don't have the answer, I'll find it. But I don't think there needs to be a lot of like infighting about the gospel. That's just my opinion. But we got to know who our God is. We have to. We have to, because if we don't know who our God is, we'll make something else our God that we know. Right? You know, the Israelites came out of Egypt, and in a few days they were making golden calves. Because that's the God they knew. Right? This whole waiting for 40 days for someone who's probably not coming back, and let's just serve the God we know. Yes, we were just delivered by this God. All these amazing things happened to us, but our hearts are just towards the God we know. That's why it's important. Discipleship is important. Revelation is important because it helps us grow in Him, right? I went to the gods I knew, and the gods I knew were depression. That's the God I knew. And it may be different for each and every one of our lives, but anger was just the God I knew, right? That's just, and I was comfortable there. Life wasn't good by any means, but I was comfortable there. So, yeah. Man, we can just fool ourselves. Fool ourselves into thinking that this is life. Doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be. The mystery has been revealed. Do we want the revelation? You know, my heart is for each and every one of us to seek that revelation. Hey, if you got portions of it, great. Keep going. If you're still looking for something, keep going. One thing you can always hang on to is that Jesus Christ saved you. That's something that we don't have to argue about. That's something that's always there. That's something you can always go to. Thank you, God, for saving me. And then as we seek and as we grow, as revelation comes, we can thank Him for that. Thank you, God, for revealing your love to me. Changed my life. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for revealing love, because then it started revealing so many other things to me. But it's these things, the power of praise, right? The power of worship. Don't let this stuff go. Meditate on this, and we'll carry on next week. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you don't have to be a mystery. I pray for revelation, Lord, as we seek you out and as we go through your word, revelation of just your love for us, who you are, what you want for us, and let us boldly come and ask. That just keeps stirring in me. Just boldly go and ask. And when you ask, don't doubt that the answer is there. Don't doubt it. Don't doubt it. Father, I just pray that you're stirring our hearts, softening our hearts, and you're leading us in the direction that you want us to go, Lord. And it's going to be good. It is good. You are good, Father. And I just pray for this week, Lord. I just pray for safety over everyone, Lord, and just opportunities, continued opportunities to share your goodness, to share your love to those around us, to those in our communities. And we just give you all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.